Hell yeah, I'm the motherfucking princess.
Abandoned fanfic featuring members of My Chemical Romance, written by Impertinence and read by Rowan Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing of Frank Iero, Gerard Way, others guys.
This is serious fic, okay? This is like meta on the individual versus society. If you don't recognize where the title comes from, you have either no ears, no soul, or taste in music. Once upon a time, Gerard was a princess. But not just any princess, no. You see, Gerard wasn't the prettiest princess in the land, or the most easygoing. In fact, he was so surly sometimes that princes recoiled in horror. The king and queen despaired. They'd already lost hope for the younger son, Mikey, who was turned into a dragon in an unfortunate accident a few years ago. Gerard himself was somewhat indifferent to his fate, though Mikey worried about him a lot. "Don't let them lock you up like they did me, Gerard," he said once, when Gerard snuck out to the Mikey cave to sit in the curve of Mikey's tail and draw. Mikey had been kept inside for so long that even his own fire burned his too delicate scales. "I won't let them get me," Gerard said. But then the next day, he submitted to comportment lessons taught by the Grand High Etiquette Master himself, Count Flowers. Mikey, needless to say, was very, very worried. He became even more worried the next time Gerard visited him. He was in a suit, black and boring and nothing like the Gerard Mikey thought he knew so well. And instead of leaping onto Mikey's back and petting his wings, he bowed carefully. "Brother," he said, clicking his heels. "What's wrong with you?" Mikey knew he shouldn't screech, but, well, suit! "You don't even have your drawing pad!" "Drawing," Gerard said, still smiling calmly, "is for peasants." Mikey choked, then roared. The fireball flew past Gerard's shoulder, but Gerard hardly even blinked, just dusted soot off his shoulder. "That isn't nice," he said. "You'll ruin my suit." All things considered, it was really very fortunate that Frank decided to try to steal the crown jewels. Figuratively speaking. Well, colloquially speaking, anyway. Gerard still couldn't quite work out why he thought attempting to slice off the king's assets was a good idea. "I think we should pardon him," Gerard said, eyeing the ragged thief speculatively. "He did, after all, breach our defenses undetected." "You're only saying that because you are interested in him carnally," his mother said, folding her bejeweled hands primly. "Mother!" Gerard was scandalized. They were in a hall of justice. "Your pants, darling," she said, sniffing. Gerard looked down and... oh, dear. Damn suits. In summation, Frank was given a jail sentence rather than death. Gerard was given briefs. Horribly uncomfortable, really. And the next time Gerard visited Mikey, he found him with a passenger. "Mikey," Gerard said after a long moment of silence. "Mikey, I know you are lonely, but really, he might try to sever important parts of you." Mikey rolled his eyes, huffing an annoyed breath. "Mostly he just watches me blow fireballs at the ceiling, Mr. Etiquette Jr." "And cuddle," Frank said, winding himself around Mikey's legs, settling against his stomach, which was, Gerard knew firsthand, warm and softer than it seemed. "Don't forget the cuddling." The noise that escaped Gerard's mouth could accurately be described as a growl. Mikey looked surprised. Frank merely smirked. "You can join us," he said, If you bring your sketchbook next time.
Gerard stared at Frank, and Frank stared at Gerard. It was all very intense. Mikey must have been breathing hotter than usual, since he could feel his face turning red.
Fine, Gerard said finally. Thief.
And then he turned on his heel and walked out.
He, Gerard reminded himself, was a princess. And princesses should not have to put up with this folderol and fiddle-dee-dee.
That did not entirely explain why he was dressed in his old clothes, festooned with lace and ribbons, and carrying his much-derided sketch pad. The cave was the same as always, right down to the filthy thief who had become something of a fixture. Sensible, Gerard supposed, as he was imprisoned there. Still, Gerard couldn't quite shake the feeling that Frank could leave any time he wanted. Not that that was an attractive facet of Frank's personality, of course. Gerard was a princess! He had to marry a prince! Frank caught his breath when he saw Gerard. Mikey beamed, as well as dragons could. You're back, he said, and Gerard knew he meant more than just Gerard's general presence.
Yes, he said, smiling grudgingly. I guess I am. Make room, he added to Frank,
and wedged himself into the warm nook of Mikey's leg. Frank pressed against him, lean and agile, mouth curving in a smirk.
It was then that the sparks started flying. Quite literally, actually.
Ah! Mikey yelled.
Stop! Get off! Ow!
Gerard, alarmed, leapt away. So did Frank. At the same time, an unfortunate coincidence that resulted in their arms and legs becoming extremely tangled.
Fuck, Frank said.
And Gerard gasped because he was a pretty princess, and pretty princesses cannot be exposed to such vulgarity. Except, of course, that Gerard had often fraternized with one of the worst stable boys, and knew almost every illicit word imaginable. Still, when the words came from Frank's mouth, well, occasional frills could have unique advantages.
Mikey,
Frank said, leaping to his feet and running over to Mikey. Gerard watched, paralyzed with fear, of course, and also enjoying the rather scenic view, as he petted Mikey's side soothingly. Brave of him to run over to a dragon in pain, almost knight-like. Gerard closed his eyes, willing the thought away. Such dreams could never be, and Gerard would not allow himself to live such an obvious, sordid tragedy as that.
You okay, Mikes? He said, keeping his eyes closed.
He hoped he was imagining the gentle, understanding tone of Mikey's voice when he said, Yes, Gerard, I'm fine. Gerard spent a week not going to the cave and not thinking of Frank. Well, no, that was actually a lie. He spent a week going to the cave and hiding just outside the cave mouth, in conveniently placed vegetation, watching Frank play with Mikey. And that was the only word for it. They talked, they roughhoused, as much as a small thief and an enormous chained dragon could. They played word games, they slept together. It was wonderfully intimate, brotherly. And Gerard watched Frank beam up at Mikey, listened to him comfort Mikey. And he wanted. What prince could compare to this? What knight, what king could be so wonderful? He sketched them in the bushes sometimes, his brother and his thief, their faces sharp, details lovingly drawn. He knew what the drawings would look like to anyone who found them, knew how foolish it was, but he didn't care. And at night, when the torches had all been extinguished and Gerard had closed his canopy, he shut his eyes and touched himself, Frank's name an almost angry prayer on his lips. Mikey became fed up with Gerard's antics on his 10th day of avoidance. Gerard knew this because Mikey roared.
the legendary, horrifying, fearsome roar of the full-fledged dragon. Gerard Arthur Way, get your royal ass down to the cave and apologize to my pet thief, or I swear to God I will rip every ruffle off of your clothing, you dumb bitch! Gerard was not actually close enough to the cave at the time to hear Frank's response, but he imagined it was something along the lines of, "Hey, pet, fuck you and your scales, Mikey Way." Even though, of course, it was true. Upon presenting himself at the cave, Gerard said stiffly, "The House of Way does not shout in such a vulgar manner." "The House of Way," Mikey shot back, "also doesn't run like scared little chickens." "Hey," Gerard said, feeling genuinely injured. "You know I fear chickens. They peck." If it was physiologically possible for a dragon to bury its head in its claws, Gerard strongly suspected that Mikey would be doing just that. "That's not the point, and you know it." "Actually," Frank said from right behind him, because he was a filthy, sneaky thief, "the point is this." And he kissed Gerard very soundly on the lips. The fact that Gerard was a princess did not necessarily preclude his having been kissed before. In fact, he had been kissed by many people with varying degrees of technical skill, and gender for that matter. But he had never been kissed like this. This was magic. This was shoes that fit perfectly, roses wrapping around a castle, glass coffins. This was every kind of princess tale Gerard had assumed wasn't meant for him, kissing his lips, pulling his hips closer, making soft, needy noises in his mouth. This was Frank. And they pulled apart. Of course they pulled apart. And Mikey was dragon-beaming, and Frank looked like someone had just handed him the king's severed jewels. Horribly disturbing thought. Gerard made a note never to think it again. And Gerard was terrified. He said, "I have to go help make soap." Then he ran, not like a chicken, but certainly like a gazelle, something prone to running in a cowardly manner anyway. The fact that Frank had kissed him in no way, shape, or form meant that Gerard had to stop bringing himself off to thoughts of Frank. It just made those fantasies somewhat more detailed and agonizing. Being given a taste of something he could never have, whether it was an enchanted ball gown or Frank's mouth, was always infinitely more painful than never having it at all. Gerard, being a princess of true tragic pain, was well aware of this maxim. To find pleasure in the memories would only exacerbate the sadness. In more ways than one. Evidently, running granted one stamina. But somehow, Gerard couldn't stop himself. "Frank, Frank, Frank!" Stroking himself, writhing into the air, coming. Such wonderful, twisting pain, like a hook in the gut. "Frank," he whispered into the darkness, staring at his embroidered curtains, but seeing only the thief's careless grin, his rough, unprincely hands. Why he trusted a thief, obviously versed in the castle's layout, to not chase after him the night following the rather disastrous kiss, he didn't know. But it still came as a complete shock when Frank answered quietly, "Yes?" Gerard froze. He said finally, hands shaking. "I wasn't." "You were," Frank said, and he sounded sad, which was wrong, so very wrong. Frank hadn't even sounded sad when Gerard's mother had sentenced him to a life in Mikey's cave, but now he sounded devastated. "No," Gerard said. His hand was only as clean as a towel could make it, But he pushed his curtains back regardless, standing up. No!
I could hear you, Gerard.
Frank grimaced, the action made sharp and beautiful by the moonlight. Gerard could barely breathe, much less speak. Fortunately, Frank seemed more than happy to talk for them both.
I don't understand, he said,
voice fast and low.
Like you told me, dragon scales, strong attraction makes them spark. You want me, I know you do, I've seen it. And you're... Mikey talks about you all the time. You're wonderful. You're the only princess I've ever met who was worth anything.
Ryan's okay,
Gerard said, mouth dry. Frank waved a dismissive hand.
I haven't met him, he said.
But it doesn't matter, you're extraordinary. Gerard's mouth was very, very dry.
I'm not.
Frank held up a single piece of paper. Gerard's mouth dried. He recognized it immediately. It was his sketch of Frank reading. He'd been sitting in the sun, studying Mikey's treasured book with his brow furrowed, legs tucked under each other. Gerard had had a lump in his throat the entire time he'd drawn it. His desire to touch, to love, almost overwhelming him.
Yes, Frank said,
taking slow, deliberate steps forward until he stood just a hair's breadth from Gerard, their clothes whispering together with Gerard's stuttering breaths.
Yes, you are. And I want you, Gerard. All of you.
His eyes were shadowed pools of intensity. His mouth was stolen from every princess meets prince story Gerard had ever told himself. He closed his eyes and swayed forward.
The kiss was analogous to being hit by Cupid's arrow, from what Patrick told him anyway.
It was amazing, not shockingly new, but instead shockingly final. It meant forever, Gerard knew, and he'd have to yell at his parents a lot and possibly threaten a coup for them to let Frank out of his cave. And there was the small matter of the fact that Frank was a dirty jewel-coveting thief, and he'd be mocked in all the Ramen kingdoms, but Frank was kissing him, sliding his hands around Gerard's back, traveling down until Gerard groaned, laughing and pushing Gerard back, and it was wonderful. Perfect. Even a fairy couldn't possibly improve upon this situation. Well, not unless said fairy was willing to indulge in some magic clothing removal. Remarkably few of them were. In short, it was love. The ridiculously pure kind that Gerard knew would have Mikey laughing at him when he and Frank went back. Home, part of him insisted. To the cave tomorrow. And it was perfect. Well, except for the part where the next day a chambermaid found him and Frank and very nearly burst Gerard's eardrums with her screaming. And finding himself kicked out of the castle was less than pleasant, really. But after he'd packed his bags and moved permanently to the cave, with Frank sharing his bed and his space and his food and, embarrassingly enough, his heart, Gerard knew it would be highly unprincessly for him to complain. And so instead, they lived happily ever after. The end. Author's note. So now I just have to write the sequel wherein Pete gets kicked out of the Knight's Club and saves Mikey from Dragoness. Man, the sad part is I'm dead serious.